If you would please, Isaiah 22 and verse 22. I need one other man here, please. Thank you. Isaiah 22, please. We're also going to look primarily at Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8, but it's connected to Isaiah 22, verse 22. All right, let's all stand, please. Okay, I'm going to try to just say some introductory things that have nothing to do with the sermon. It's fair for you to understand what I do and why I do it. I don't preach to you. This is never, by the way, if you think a sermon's about you, you would be exactly 100% wrong. I prepare apart from meaning I don't think Pachungai needs this. By the way, if you know me at all, I said this multiple times. I pastored for 8 years in St. Louis. I never preached a message to anybody. One Wednesday night, somebody asked me to teach on a subject, Ron Wyndell. He and his wife are now with the Lord. Ron Wyndell said, Pastor, would you teach on this on a Wednesday night? And I said, yes, and I taught on a Wednesday night, and Ron Wyndell wasn't there. I have done the same thing, I think, twice here, and both times the people that asked me were not there. One woman asked me to teach on the subject of election, of which I have done 3 times in this church, and she was not here for any of the 3 months. So you have to understand, if you think I'm preaching to you, it's because you have something in you that thinks that. It's not about me. So I want to be really specific. I'm going to speak for 4 to 6 weeks on the subject broadly of the will of God. Tonight will be the Church of the Open Door. It's not an expository sermon. I am not dealing with 2 verses. I'm doing a topical sermon on the concept of doors. Because by the way, I'm going to deal with the will of God. I got a second sermon. It's finished. It's on my desk. I could have Brian go up and get it and show you. It's called The Will of God, 1 in 3. Next week, we'll be talking about the moral will of God, the sovereign will of God, and the personal will of God. We'll talk about that next week. I'm going to deal with this for 4 or 5 weeks. Where I really want to go is 2 places. I have been reading the Hebrew text, which is not easy in Psalms, on Psalm 23. That's one thing I want to spend probably 3 months on. 2 months. And then I also want to do some Psalms in Psalm 93. But for about 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to deal with the will of God. So you say, is this about me? Again, if you think so, you have the problem, not me. It's going to be not a sermon. This is a Bible study, because a sermon is taking a text and applying it. I'm looking at the topic or the subject of open doors. Is everybody clear? All right, thank you. Isaiah 22. This is where many of the references root from. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. By the way, how many times in the New Testament do you hear of keys? And those keys come from the Lord. He goes on to say, he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. Revelation 3, please. You can look in your notes if you have notes. You don't need to look at Revelation 3. By the way, you need to look in the notes. I'm not going to mention it again, because there's something missing in English. It's impossible to put the wordplay. It's the word for open and close. Okay? Revelation 3. Again, this is just a topical message about the will of God, really. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. All of these introductions to who Jesus is root back in Revelation 1. But it adds a line here. He that hath, the Greek word is kleis. It is just through migration, keys, the kleis. He that has the key of David. Have you read that before? The key of David. Then it goes on to say, he that openeth and no man. Now it uses the verbal form of the word for key. Look at me. No man. But see, it's not like this. Did you shut the cupboard door? It's shutting, locking. You understand, the reason you shut a door is to keep people out and to lock it to keep people out. So this text is very clear. Let's read it again. He that openeth and no man shuts or locks. He that shutteth, again using the verbal form of the word, form for keys in verbal form, he shutteth and no man opens. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee, what's that? An open door. And no man, I love this, can shut it. By the way, no one, dunatai, is able to lock that door shut. No one. Now, there's application in a sermonic form to encourage us, but my point is not to encourage us. My point tonight is simply to deal, everyone look at me, with open and closed doors. I already know some people will be angry and some people will be offended and some people won't hear a thing I say because we have beliefs that have very little to do with the scripture. And one of the ones that I've heard is this. Now, one step back and we pray. All of this started so you can blame everything I'm going to say in 6 weeks from a friend of mine that sent me a sermon. He sent me a Sunday school from 2019 from his church, and it was, does God speak to us through our emotions? And I'll bring you the article. I have everything I'm going to teach for 6 weeks written on this piece of paper. Does God speak to us through our emotions? I might even use it for one of the nights. We just use his Sunday school. Ken Largent. So you can blame everything on Ken Largent from Omaha, Nebraska. Write your nasty letters to him, and that's what we'll do. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time tonight. I desire really just to kind of open our eyes from the scripture by means of the Holy Scripture to this subject of open doors. I don't know how we've gotten so far from what the scripture says. The truth is beyond beautiful. Help me, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a 10 to 15 minute introduction, which I'm skipping. So, sorry, no good story. I say in your notes the most important thing you're going to hear. I came to this concept, meaning open doors. Outside of the scripture, where did I learn about open doors? Speak. Where did I learn about open doors? From Christians talking. God opened a door. God closed a door. This happened, that happened, and I just heard all of this buzzing. One guy, I like him, he's in heaven now, he had a PhD, he had postdoctoral work in God opening doors. It's a fact. So I first came to the concept outside of Scripture. Do you know what that means, Cliff? I had never looked in the Scripture what it says about open doors. I just had all of this stuff floating around. So I would hear things like this as part of Christian language. God opened a door. Much less frequently, God closed a door. And my favorite, of which I heard from my friend, was this. God closed a door, but he opened a window. You say, Pastor Warren, what are you even talking about? And none of this that I heard among Christians, please look at me, none of it had anything to do with what the New Testament talks about. Maybe at a distant application, maybe. I'll let you be the judge of that. So what does the Scripture say? Well, we'll just begin it very simple. Well, the Scripture does say that God opens doors, no question about it. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. In Philadelphia, the angel was the messenger. Remember, angelos is a word that means messenger. It always means messenger. Sometimes it means a divine angelic being giving us a message. At other times, it just means a human messenger. The messenger at the church of Philadelphia was, look up here, was the person that took the book of Revelation from Patmos, a messenger, that's deep, took the message from John on the island of Patmos to the city of Philadelphia. There had to be a messenger. You didn't send it by fax, email. You had to have a messenger. So there was a messenger to the church at Philadelphia, and this was the message. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. He hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, by the way, they were in a tough place. This was a good church on the whole in a bad spot. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. It says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Of course, I have in your notes, we don't need to read again. This comes from Isaiah. In your notes. Obviously, this idea implies, and more importantly, that implies, implication is not really true. It requires other ideas. So for God to open the door requires, first of all, that the doors are closed. I have an advantage over every person in this room. I'm the only one that was a pastor in 1989. Jared, how old were you in 1989?
Three.
Anybody know what happened in the world in 1989? The fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the USSR and the opening, by the way, for 5 minutes for the gospel in Russia, Ukraine, and all of those eastern countries. By the way, I was pastoring in St. Louis. There had been people, Jenny is more familiar because some of it was here in Chicago, there had been people trying to get into Russia since communism. Smuggling Bibles, getting arrested. You not know this? And all of a sudden, the door was open. By the way, God opens doors, which requires that the doors were? They were shut, closed, and locked. Yes. In your notes, the doors are not open, at least before. We're not open, are not open. Next, the doors don't open themselves. Kind of makes sense. Otherwise, friend, look at me. If you can by manipulation, look, if you can by manipulation open the door, by definition, it has nothing to do with what the Bible's saying. Because the Bible's talking about something you cannot manipulate and open on your own. God has to open it. That's an open door. So the doors don't open themselves. Next, God has to open the doors. And simply stated, doors closed. Doors are closed until and or unless God opens them. Are better than unopens. How about this? He unlocks them. Because who has the key? Who has the key? Christ. Yes. Number two, God more than opens doors. The text doesn't just say God opens doors. It said God also more than does this. In the text, just read the highlighted sections. He that openeth and no man shuts. Nobody can lock a door that God opens. Now, you got to look at the other side, too. It also says he also shuts doors and no man opens. And he even says to them, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. Now, friends, I want to say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Some of us don't listen well to the Bible. We have our religion. So I want to be very clear. Is it an open door in Russia today for missionaries from the West? Do you know our church supported, I believe, 2 and maybe 3 missionaries in Russia right when I came here? We supported 2 families that went to Irkutsk. We still support them, but they can't get into Russia right now. Who am I talking about? Vinokourov was one. That was one. And also, who's the other one? Tico. I for too many names. Do you realize Baptist World Missions had a bunch of missionaries in Russia, and after a short time, none. You know why? They were run out. Why do you think the Vinokourovs are here? Why do you think Tico and his wife are not in Russia? It's almost impossible. And by the way, both of those people have Russian passports. Very difficult. In your notes, God more than opens the doors. He opens a door in a way that no one can close except himself. He closes a door that no one can open except himself. Now, this is just Pastor Warren. I'm sorry, this is just my way of thinking. Worry is the natural state of all humans. Do you all agree with that? Does anybody in this room like, don't speak, raise your hand. No, you don't have to. Anybody in this room given to worry? You know why you're given to worry? By the way, it's some of it's your personality, your emotions. By the way, everybody worries. Some people are just, we call them worry warts. I mean, they have warts on top of warts on top of warts, metaphorically. They like to worry. When I pastored in St. Louis, I had a secretary that liked me there. I have 2 secretaries now. One likes me and one, well, you know. One is Miss Wonderful. She's over in that side. One is Miss Not So Wonderful. She's in the center. But in St. Louis, the secretary liked me. Can I say this? If there was a dictionary entry with a photo, her photo was in the dictionary for worry. She worried about everything. Can I say what you should take away from this? You got to get the whole package, not just the open door. If God wants to open a door, that door is open as long as God wants it to be open. If God wants to close the door, you're not opening it. No prayers. Nothing's going to open it. I want to ask you a question. Does Philadelphia today still have an open door for the gospel? Where's Philadelphia at? This Philadelphia. Modern day Turkey. Do you think there's a lot of gospel churches in Turkey? By the way, friend, God opens a door, God closes a door. We have to come to grips with this. Worrying about it won't help you. That probably, now, I want to say this. I don't want to pick on the worry people. I can look around this room. There's 3 or 4 people that worry a lot more than I ever have. That doesn't make me better than you. It might make me more thick-headed than you. In your notes, worry is the natural state of all humans, including Christians. I say in your notes, some more, next, some less. Some people worry more, some people worry less. Some people worry always. Some people worry rarely, but all worry. And it comes down to who has the key. Pastor, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? By the way, I have worried more in the last year than I have worried in the last 66 years. You say different things happening, and I don't know. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, am I going to be one of those old geezers that's just worried about everything? The answer is maybe. But some of it is we have to step back and wait a minute. Who has the key? Christ. He has the key. He can open something and no one can close it. He can close something and no one can open it. Who has the key? That's the takeaway from this. Now, I've been told things, and by the way, I try not to ever do this. Ooh, I try not to do this. It's not my job. 1986, I was in an office with a pastor I was assistant pastor for. It's been a long time. My goodness, that's a long time. 1986, assistant pastor, and Tim Kowak, though he doesn't like me that much either, he and I have conversation. You know what a conversation is? Where you feel comfortable to talk. The guy I work for, you had no conversations. You also missed the point. I said I worked. Tim Kowak does not work for me. Nobody works for me. We work together. He works with me. You work for him. He was the Pope. We had a conversation, and he had had a ton of people leave the church. He could not imagine why anybody would leave the church over him. And he actually, after I left, he told many people that I caused 100 people to leave that church. Here's the funny part. I didn't even know most of those people. My first 2 weeks there, a family was leaving the church. I just got there. How did I run them off? I knew I was getting the axe 2 weeks in. Jenny knows the story. Because 2 weeks in, he and the other assistant pastor and myself, he said, well, we're going to go talk to this family and see what's wrong. I knew that Ralph Warren was going out the door that night. I had preached one time in the church. We sat around the table. The couple was over here. To this day, if my life depended on it, I don't know their name because I didn't know them. I was only there 2 weeks. The family said, you know what? We don't like your preaching. Well, usually people aren't going to stay in the church if they can't at least tolerate the preaching. They looked at the other guy, and I'll say his name is Smith. It wasn't Smith. And he said, we don't like Smith's preaching. Then they said the thing that was so ridiculous. They said, but we like Warren's preaching. Do you understand what that meant? Now, by the way, if somebody says they like Pastor Kowak's preaching, this is what you're going to get from me. Thank God he works with me. If someone thinks Dada is special, I think Dada is special. Thank God he works with me. But that's not how a dictator looks at things. So the dictator sat across the table from me, and I still remember. I said, you know, people leave. People get mad. People fall apart. People are liars. My good son-in-law here revealed he knows some lies that I don't know about liars that used to be part of this church 20 years ago. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know those lies. By the way, people are fake. Do you know this? I told him that, and he said, don't worry about it, Warren. You'll never pastor. I left there. Everybody listen. By the grace of God, I went back to the hospital where I worked. Not only did I have a job for me, they gave me a bonus and gave me a promotion. So for a year and 3 months, I worked at the hospital. We also worked at Oak Forest Baptist Temple in those days, which on the south side, Bill Schroeder. And for a year and 3 months, I started to believe he was right. Do you know the verse that helped me? Look in your notes. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. And what? By the way, I thought to myself then, I think now, the same thing. Who has the keys? By the way, who's sovereign? And friends, that saved my sanity. You say, do you ever worry? Yes. Yes. There's reason for worry. Always. By the way, if I do too much thinking, I do more worrying. Number three, God also closes doors. Yes, and this is the hard part. By the way, do you understand God closes doors? I want everyone to look at me. I don't know everybody here, so I'm going to say things. I'm going to say things to every person, two different sides. If God has opened the door, you better go through the door that God has opened. We haven't said what that is yet. And you better run through it because you have no control over how long it's going to be open. If you have heard the gospel, let me just say this. I believe this. God opens wide his arms. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But I do not believe God opens that door forever for anybody. And it's a scary thing. Do you know how many people I have met that wish they could go back 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, back to a certain occasion, but at the time, they were going the opposite direction. But they realized for a brief period of time, God opened the door. I need to get Pastor Chuck Ells here. He cannot come here because of his wife's health. Friends, I knew that Chuck and Shelley Ells and Kathy and Jerry Milburn came out of one church, a little bitty church in the Azores, and I didn't know where the Azores were. Anybody? Yeah, they're off the coast of Africa. They're Portuguese speaking. That little church sent like four or five families into Christian ministry, and I thought they were there 3 or 4 years. They were there less than 6 months. That's an open door. By the way, there's no church in the Azores anymore. That's gone 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You understand? He shuts and no man's opens. Next page, please. Well, Isaiah says exactly the same. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So shall he open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Friends, does everybody know that Pastor Warren is not a guilt person? Look me in the eyes. Do you know that? This is going to sound very guilty, Pachungai, so I know sorry. Everybody hear me. I think many of us spend a lifetime wasting our life, griping, criticizing, withdrawing, not realizing doors are closed by the Lord. 10 years ago, Bambi, she never says anything nice to me, but she loved Mr. Losey. And several times, I remember her, I remember my daughter, I remember probably Tim, said things like, you do realize we're not going to have Mr. Losey forever. Hello? By the way, and though there are people that do other things, you're not going to replace him. Friends, God opens doors, he closes doors. You better go through that door. You better benefit from that door because there ain't no going back. There isn't any playing games like I'm just going to magically open the door and God opened the door or he closed the door, but he opened the window. No. Every time I look out here, there's an empty space since COVID. But right out here is where Rick Lovellette said, I would do anything for that man to be back in this church. There's those people that's like, they shouldn't be gone. But they are. Now, this is Ralph Warren. I'm going to speak for me, not for you. I asked the question rhetorically, is this just me? God opens a door, I'm not interested. God closes a door, what's my response? That's the only door I'm interested in. Do you have that? By the way, is that true of you? I'm asking you a question. God opens a door, who cares? By the way, just Mr. Losey. It's just Mr. Smith. It's just Mr. By the way, I'd love to see Bill Burfield. And Bill Burfield was no great intellectual. He wasn't gifted. He was just one of those simple guys that got saved and spent, 30, 40 years down on the base every morning. I don't know how many years. It was a ton of years. Down there helping guys that had problems down at the hospital section, making coffee, getting donuts. And every time I see that guy, he was not special in many ways, but in one way he was very just a simple Christian. Can I tell you what? I'd like to see him again. Some people don't have time for that. I'm busy. I got my work. I got my stuff. Nothing stays forever. Number four. Now we come to the hard part tonight. Is everybody ready? Please look at me. I'll say it in a negative way, and then we'll look at the text. Everything I ever heard about God opening doors, after I looked in the Bible to see what the open doors were in the Bible, everything I ever heard had nothing to do with what I had heard. The Bible does not teach the stuff I had heard. So I had, in one Sunday a couple years back, two families in this church walk up to me the same Sunday and say, Pastor Warren, I want you to know that God opened a door. I will tell you, number one, both families were lying. Did you hear it? Lying. I call it exactly what it is. God opening a door is not this. Ralph Warren, let's just pretend I wanted to go to another church. If I got my resume in 50 churches, is that God opening a door or me seeking? Answer. Both people had resumes. But they wanted to come and tell me, oh, God just opened. It's like, no, God didn't open a door. You were looking to leave. I don't know why they lied. Why didn't they just say it? By the way, maybe you need to decide that. Why did they feel compelled to lie as simply to say, I wanted to move to here? That was 1 week. And a previous time, I had two other families. One moved to Tennessee and one moved to hell. You say, what's hell? It's spelled Las Vegas. And by the way, not doing so good. I don't know where God had to do with this. In your notes, God primarily opens doors for what? What? You see, all the language I ever heard spoken about God opening doors, it never was like God opened the door so I could go and somehow be involved in gospel ministry. It was God opened the door so I got a promotion. God opened the door so I could move. Look at me, friends. I had a person on a Sunday night way back, 1997, walk up here. He showed up two Sunday nights. Mike, you know who it was. I can't remember his name. His main function was to come to me and tell me, because I had known him in the 70s when I was here the first time. He said, God opened the door for me to find a new wife. I find none of that stuff. By the way, I have people, I can still, God opened the door that I found a parking space close to the store. By the way, look at me. This is not working. That really is heartwarming. Here's one problem. Every time I never pray for that, because God's going to open a parking lot 3 miles away from me because I need to walk. What is this stuff that we do about God opened the door? So friends, look at me. You don't have to trust me. You can look up the word D-O-O-R, or if you know the Greek word thorough, you can look up the Greek word thorough, and guess what you're going to find? When the word is used metaphorically, not, meaning it's not a door like to my office, never does it talk about God opening a door for you to get married to a new woman, or for you to move, or for you to take a different job. All of that, look at me, is good religious language to basically say, God's in my back pocket. Whatever I want, that's what God wants me to do. All right, you don't have to believe me, but I'm going to give you all the references in your notes. In your notes, please. Door, thura is the Greek word. When used metaphorically or symbolically, what's the opposite? Look up here. The opposite is a door. When it's not used as a physical door, every time the Bible talks about doors being opened, it has only to do with what I say in your notes. It relates primarily to the gospel or gospel ministry. When it's not talking about a physical door. Now, Peter got out of prison and was knocking on a door. That's a literal door. But metaphorically, it's used of the gospel. It's used twice in John 10. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. By the way, friends, that's a metaphor. It does not mean that Jesus had hinges. Hello? Does not mean that Jesus had a little window. I mean, don't get goofy. That's a metaphor. It's about the gospel. He is the door into the family of God. John 10:9. I am the door. John X 14. By the way, these are all the references in the whole Bible to this. Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And how, and this is one of the great metaphoric statements, one of my favorites, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Which probably implies before this, the door for the Gentiles to be saved was closed. But Jesus has the key of David. He can open and no man can shut. He can shut and no man can open. But friends, please look at me. Please get this. The key that Jesus has is not for you to have a parking place closer. It's not about your emotions. It's not about what you want. The metaphorical doors that Jesus opens are always connected to the gospel. Period. Are you with me? Now, we're going to look at all the text. You're going to see all of them. There aren't any. Now, there's lots of words for door, but it's talking about a door, you know, like over here, when it's used metaphorically in this sense. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:12. It's very limited amount of uses. Furthermore, Paul says, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. He's talking about, I came here, and the Lord opened a door for the gospel ministry, for us to preach, for us to establish a church, that sort of thing. The other reference is Colossians 4:3. It gets pretty thin pickings. Paul says, with all praying also for us. Now, this is legitimate. That God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So, friends, there's nothing wrong with saying this. Person visits our church. Let me ask you, when a person visits our church, what is your thoughts? Do you pray that God would open their eyes? Or do you just think about yourself? Because for you, doors mean God gives me a, you know, I wanted a chair. I wanted this big comfortable chair. And I've been praying for a comfortable chair. And by the way, that's okay. And God opened the door that I got it on a special price. Hear me. Maybe. But you're not interested in the gospel? Because when the Bible talks about open doors, it's talking about open doors for the gospel, to preach, to witness, to evangelize. Friends, I have experienced it in 1989 for a short period of time. Now, sadly, every knucklehead weirdo on planet Earth also went to Russia, and then Putin took over, I forget which year, 1999, 2000, and once Putin took over, he was an old KGB guy. Russia's not communist, by the way. It's back to being a dictatorship like it's always been. That was closed in your notes. So let's just summarize these simple statements. All the metaphorical or symbolic biblical references are about Christ. Secondly, they are about the gospel. Thirdly, or this is another way of saying the same thing, are about the ministry of the gospel. So Jim Duncan came to me several years back. I don't remember when it was. And by the way, everybody listen, because you're going to get this point and the next point connected to the story. Jim Duncan wanted to start. He's a weird person. Can I have an amen? Where's Amber? Oh, Amber's not even here to pick on Grandpa. By the way, he came and he said, we'd like to start working with an Awana group on the base. That is a door for the gospel. Hello? But see, we have two problems. Our first problem is this door language has just become like this guy that came to me. God opened the door for me to have a new wife. My old wife, we didn't get along. She would blah, blah, blah. But my new wife's wonderful. Okay, God bless you. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Or God opened the door that I could move, or I could go home, or I could go to the mountains, I could go to the lake, I could go to the farm, all that stuff. By the way, friends, you know my sister lives on a farm. Every time I go home, the first thing I want to do is move. What does that have to do with reality? And I have a second question. If Ralph Warren moved tonight to another church, what would I be doing? The same things. You say, but I would be on a farm. Well, let's look in your notes. Let's finish. It's about Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about the ministry of the gospel. All of these references are about God opening a door of faith, a door of faith to the Gentiles. Yes, that's what it's about. God opening a door of faith for the Gentiles, which implies, by the way, you don't have to understand theology. That simply states salvation is something God does. It's not something you can manipulate people into. God has to open the door. Well, we have it in this text. And when they come and gather the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. This is Paul and his first missionary group. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Acts 16:14, which is the next journey. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. By the way, this is the opening in the Bible. Not an opening that I got more to eat than I needed, or I'm more comfortable than I used to be. It's about the gospel. It's about Christ. It's about God saving people. Underneath, I say this. They're all about God opening that kind of door. They are about they're also about this. They are about praying that God would open a door. Friends, World War II, you ever heard of it? If you know anything about the history of missions in Asia, two things happened. Third thing should have happened. Two things happened. Number one, many, many men that had fought in the Philippines came home, went to Bible college, went back to the Philippines, and gave their life for the rest of their life to reach the Philippines. And can I say this? Lots of problems in the Philippines, but on the whole, an open door. Yes or no? Number two, lots of people also went to Japan. You know this. Probably as many went to Japan as went to the Philippines. Has there been an open door? There have been people saved. There are some small churches here and there, but it's a very tough place. Third place it should have been was, and I'll use the old language and the new, Formosa, for you old geezers. For you young geezers, Taiwan. By the way, Chiang Kai-shek, we defended them. We defend them against communism. Has there ever been an open door? No. By the way, friend, God opens a door or closes a door. But this is about the gospel. This is not about your comfort, what you want, your peace of mind, being close to mom, being close to dad. Listen to me. I looked at my mother. She's 92 years old. She's not getting younger. And Cliff and Dada, you both know this. And I think my older sister's in worse shape. And what's weird is doctors can't figure out what's going on with her. I live up here. I don't live there. By the way, the question is, has God opened a door for ministry? The answer is yes. And I'm running through it because one day it will close. So let me tell you a story. I called a person this week. Kevin Bowder recommended a man for missions conference. And I'm not even going to get into that tonight about missions conference. I'll just say it this way. I was thinking next year maybe. The guy is a good man. He has been retired from full-time ministry for 9 years. He said to me, I really appreciate your offer. He says, I'm not capable of doing that kind of thing anymore. Okay. There are people in this room that whatever ministry you are ever going to have is finished. You better grow up. This ain't a joke. The door closes and you're not reopening the door. You say, that's guilt. No, that's fact. We play around a lot. You know, Pastor Warren will always be here. Yeah, I'm planning on being here until the day you put me on a cart and carry me out. But friends, you don't know that. I don't know that. You say, well, Dada will always be here. You don't know that. Well, Pastor Kowak will always be. He will be. He will be carted out on the cart right behind me. But friends, can I say this to you? We play around with what's important, and with what's not important, that's what we think is important. Does God open doors for the gospel? He also closes them. You better run through. You say, you're preaching to me. Of course I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. Let's go through all of this. All the metaphorical, symbolic, biblical references are about Christ. They're about the gospel. They're about the ministry of the gospel. They are about God opening a door of faith to the Gentiles. They're about God opening that kind of door, meaning not some door so I got a deal on a new car at such and such a place. That's being that religious, semi-charismatic stuff. They're also about what? Praying that God would open that kind of a door. And lastly, they're not about, or not primarily about, God opening a door for me. And by the way, you have to fill in the blank. to move, to have a new job, to have a divorce, to have a remarriage, to find a new wife, to find a new husband, to be happy in all the nonsense that I've heard. So everyone look at me. I'm almost done. By the way, the hardest part's the last, so if you're mad, you're going to be worse at the last point. Because I only heard one text ever quoted on an open door, and it was misquoted every single time. We'll get there. I want to say this to you. Quit playing around. This life you have isn't a game. If God opens a door, run through that door. Look at me, friend. Look at me. That door will shut sooner or later. It might be sooner than you think. I have to look around this room and say, Samwise Gamgee used to sit over here. Well, he said every place, but over here a lot. Samwise Gamgee died at what, 26, 25? Sam Labasi, for you that don't know who I'm talking about. Rick Lavalette was 54. Brian Yu was 44. And Brian Yu, if you knew anything about him, he was a macho guy. Frankly, more macho than anybody in this room. Except one guy that thinks he's macho over here, but I won't mention Anders' name. Brian, do you know that Brian was doing triple somersaults, backflips? He was a gymnast. And had a stroke and was in heaven. I want to say this. Quit playing around. You get an open door, you better run through that door, unless you're just a fool that thinks life is about me being happy all the time. Well, we'll move to the last one. By the way, I'm not trying to be depressing. I want to be honest. God gives us opportunity. Chase the opportunity. It doesn't come again. Number five. God opens doors of opportunity and what? I've heard this verse quoted by Ron Hill. He never quoted the second half. For a great door, ineffectual, is open unto me. And what? This is what people do. Look at me. It must not be God's will. We have problems. Have you read Paul's life? He went from problem to problem to problem to problem. If we had 15 minutes, we'd read 2 Corinthians in the two passages. Talks about him being shipwrecked, talked about him being beaten, talks about him being stoned, talks about him being left up. But for us, this is it. Yes, God closed the door, but he opened the window. Which means I never have problems. What verses are you reading? The very door that talks about God giving him great opportunity said there's also great opposition. You say, Pastor Warren, the kids in Sunday school are so rambunctious. There's only one person that knows that so far, and that's Rhonda. She gets all of them. Do you get Braden? I love Braden, but, you know, Braden just sits there every Sunday, right? Do you get Jesse yet? We need to pay you extra money, sister. But you say,
double my salary.
We're going to quadruple your salary, sister. By the way, going to the nursery sometime with Evan. I love Evan, but I'm too old to chase him. I can't. Only my good daughter can chase him. She's like, shh. She comes into my office, and no joke, he comes in first. And I haven't yet got him to learn how to knock. He just opens the door. He comes in, chocolate. He gets several other things. But the problem is the other kids are coming up the steps with my good daughter, and they're coming in. They get in there. He's gone. He is gone. He's in another county. Opposition, friends, opposition. So a great door ineffectual is open unto me, and there are what? So look at me, everybody. I'm done tonight. What's the door? Does God open doors? Yes. Does God close doors? Yes. Let me ask you, what kind of doors does God open? Gospel ministry. Does that mean everything's going to be easy? If you think you're going to go to a place without opposition, now I don't know about you, I'm going to speak for myself and be done. I've never been tempted to leave Lake County so far. I think probably because I'm too cynical. I have been asked to come other places. I've been asked to preach other places. I have never done so. Do you know why? Do you think I would finally find a church that didn't have people problems? I'm asking. Not, thank you, sister. Not, yeah, are there people? And if there's no people there, there would be no people problems. Friends, I have preached, I remember preaching in a Bible church, and I'm going to just say this, and I'm sorry. Some of you still don't have a clue what I'm preaching on tonight, do you? All I'm answering is, what kind of doors does God open? They're about the gospel, and there's always opposition too. So if you want to do something for the Lord without opposition, good luck. I'll close by saying this. A friend of mine many years ago asked me to preach in a church in, it's where Jim Duncan grew up, Moscow, Michigan. He pastored a church in Moscow, Michigan, a Bible church. It was a dead church. I think it's long defunct. But the funny thing that happened was this. I couldn't preach a lick. I couldn't stand in front of people. I got up to preach, and there was a lady. They had wooden pews, seemed like three rows, kind of like this, wooden pews back here. And that woman did, I still remember. By the way, I'm a visiting guy. I can barely preach. I don't know this woman. The woman got in the pew, and as we sat down, she turned in the pew, she put her feet up, and she did this. I'm like, what is she? I'm so young, I don't know what she was doing. Well, she ran off that young preacher, that pastor, of course. She was the, by the way, she was the financial secretary of that church. There you go. I think it runs in kind, doesn't it? Let's stand, please. Let's stand and pray together. By the way, here is the conclusion of your sermon. But Pastor, God opened the door. In the Bible, open doors, metaphorically used, are about the gospel, and there's always opposition involved. So you say, I want to go to the Philippines. Not that you've never had any opposition in the Philippines, have you? Good grief. Welcome to the ministry. This morning, as I'm preaching on the gospel, were you here? I think it was a good sermon. I had somebody with their phone out. And I'm like, I'm looking at the person. I better not look where they were. It was Pachungay. And they're just scrolling through their phone. And I'm like, do you know people are looking at you? Well, it's just an unsaved person that has no idea about anything that matters. Wow. Father, thank you for this time tonight. This seems to be simple stuff. All I did was look up all the passages in the Bible that use the word door, thorough, metaphorically. Looked at what they say, looked at what they teach. And Father, I think the teaching is simple. You open doors. You more than open doors. You open doors and no one can shut. You also close doors. You open doors primarily that deal with the gospel and gospel ministry, not our personal pleasure and happiness. And even the doors you open have many adversaries. Let's quote the whole passage so we're more able to deal with all of the stuff that we run into when we're trying to do right for Christ. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name.